I do not wash my kids' sheets every Friday.
No, they don't appreciate it.
Not at all.
I wash it when they're getting a little snotty. I'm like, all right, we should probably wash this. It's looking a little crusty.
Or if they wet the bed.
Well, yeah, of course. We're not animals, Lauren.
I'm just saying, that's when we can count on it, at least.
Being a mom is hard. Being a business owner and a mom is even harder. So we love to talk shop together, whether that's what we're planning to have for dinner in our homes or what we're planning for next quarter in our content calendars.
But most of all, we love to hear the stories of other moms who have built their businesses and brands. We've dreamed of becoming business besties with some of our favorite business owners online, and we are going to use this podcast to do exactly that.
Come for the stories behind how moms built their businesses, aka the business banter. Then stay for the laughter and candid conversations, aka the bestie banter.
This is the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
Hey, bestie.
Just besties tonight.
Just besties. I'm excited. I feel like when every time we do this, though, we talk for like 30 minutes before we start recording and then 30 minutes after. And so we talk for like 3 hours.
It was like a little time to catch up. And I know. You said you put your kids to bed and I did too. Curtis is out of town. So where's Thomas?
I know. We're single parenting. It's the first Wednesday of the month when we're recording. And that means he's at his whiskey club.
Okay.
So yeah,
Curtis is doing in that. Detroit. Motor City.
Motor City. All right. Well, we're going to kick off with some bestie banter per usual. And then we have like a theme for our business banter this time, which I think is fun. So as always, kicking us off with a little blood boiler, Lauren.
Okay. I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but I think about it often. This is my Roman Empire right now.
And you and I talk about this a lot, I feel like.
Yeah. Tip culture.
I don't understand.
I drove through Starbucks today. Now, don't throw rocks at me. I frequent my local coffee shop as well, but I wanted something specifically that was at Starbucks today. And I was trying to figure out which one's actually more expensive, or I couldn't remember the prices. So I go through the drive-through, and I usually have some money on my app, like a gift card or something. I did not today. So I was paying with a card. And before I could pay with the card, because this has never happened to me when I pay on the app, before I could pay with the card, the girl held up a little digital thing and she wanted me to tip her before I got my drink. And my drink was $7.26 already. And I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to like what you're giving me
because you haven't given a drink.
A $7 drink. I was really thinking this costs the same as like a drive-through meal somewhere.
Truly.
It's a treat, and I am fully acknowledging that. I'm admitting that, and I'm spending the money on it. But I said, no thanks. There, I did not tip.
Well, and I'm like, I want to be like when I'm getting asked to tip at every single thing. Like, okay, how are you getting paid minimum wage?
Right. Because
if you're not, if this is like a serving table situation where you're making $5
an hour,
and then yes, tips it on top. Like, that's one thing, but that's, you're providing a service that then I can give you extra for it. Like, you just doing your job of like what's appropriate, what's not. Like, if I'm going up to a counter and ordering and standing there and you hand me the food, I don't feel like I should tip you. You didn't have to walk to my table.
I'll tell you, the local ice cream shop that's near us, it's so good. We go all the time. It's our after dinner, after the kids are in bed treat. My neighbor works there. She's a sophomore in high school. And she told me the other day, she makes $9 an hour working there. So basically what she makes babysitting for me, a little bit more babysitting for me. No taxes taken out. She makes $9 an hour, but they have one of those iPads that they flip around. She said every time she works with tips, she walks out making $20 an hour.
That's insane because people feel so peer pressured by the iPad tip.
They do because they flip it around and they just stare at you and they wait for you to select it. And I told Curtis on this one, I really paid attention to it this time because he and I had just talked about it. When you read from left to right, it goes 25%,
oh my God,
20%, and then there was a 10% all the way on the right. He said he goes places all the time and he notices that 10% is not even an option anymore.
That's crazy.
I made my eyes go all the way to the right and I said 10%. Because I was like, you know, it's not that much and they're doing the most they can in high school, but And then she told me she makes $20 an hour.
So that's like, nuts.
Maybe I need to go scoop some ice cream.
That's so nuts. Yeah, I remember like, I genuinely remember like getting my oil changed in college and calling my dad while they were doing it, being like, so like, do I tip at the oil change? And he's like, Rebecca,
do you?
No. He's like, you don't. And I was like, okay, well, like they're providing a service. I wasn't sure, but like, I couldn't assess the quality because I don't know anything. But then it's like ironic because I remember having that conversation, him being like, absolutely not. And now I'm like,
I would rather tip the person who's been under the hood of my 100%. Car getting dirty than the Starbucks barista.
100%. And it's not, we're not saying that they're doing honest work. We're just saying like, I agree with you. Like you should be able to taste the drink. And be like, or even if like you're inside, I feel like at least you're like chatting with the person maybe while you're waiting. Like
the person at the window didn't even make the drink. They just handed it to me. I don't know who that money's going to.
Exactly.
I have always tipped on to-go orders. I don't think you do, but I've always tipped 10% on a to-go order, assuming that there's someone whose job is like front of house who is to-go orders. Like they are making sure it's correct. They're putting the silverware in there.
That's the one I definitely don't, because they've already packaged up my food. They can't spit it in at this point. So that's the one where I'm like signing. I'm like, bye.
And then you don't have to see them and like really make super eye contact with them. That's a good idea. That's smart.
Whereas like when you're ordering at the iPad and they're watching you and they haven't even made your food yet or like pass it over.
They won't even blink until, and they know which direction you're going when you're
my hands are sweating. Like I'm like stressed because I'm like, I don't want to do this. And it's not that I'm being cheap, but like, I just feel like then it makes the people that are serving tables and doing all that, it like almost devalues what they're doing because I'm giving the person literally standing at the counter the same that you're getting.
Yeah.
Or close, you know?
I also kind of felt bad. My hair girl, I get partial highlights and a haircut, and she increased her prices. I think it was like whole salon January 1st, or there was a date where they were increasing. And then I was like, when I saw how much it cost, I was like, I'm not going to tip 20%. I got to tip less. Like, cause
I know
as a whole, I can't afford your increase and my like tip increase on top of that. I'm like, what? When I see that price on there and I feel bad because that's a person I see all the time and I want to support, but
right.
There comes a point where my bank account cannot.
I know. And then I feel like, I don't know if yours is like this, like you Venmo them. And so then it's like, they tell you the price. Like mine's always pretty, I usually have like a $60 to $75 haircut because I don't get any color yet.
You do have to do mental math with it.
Well, they tell you like, okay, like $75 say, and then I send them, you know, like $85, $90. And then I'm like, do they think I'm dumb or do they realize like I added a tip? Cause there's not like a tip.
They know
line
you added a
Venmo.
Tip.
You know?
They know you got a tip.
Okay. These are the things though I think about. Like tipping really does stress me out.
Yeah. My eyebrow wax girl, she costs $15 for my eyebrows. I give her $20 every time, which I'm like, that's a 25, right? 25%?
Well,
wait, 33%.
She didn't take off your whole eyebrow. So she deserves it.
Yeah. I trust her.
She could do some damage. You can't decrease it now because
right. If I started paying her less, she might make a mistake.
Well, and this is where I'm like, there are things that maybe I should be tipping for. Like, for instance, I just started getting laser hair removal. She deserves a tip. She's doing the Lord's work. And
she's doing work that a lot of people probably want to do.
She is. And I mean, I'm not tipping her because it's so expensive. And there wasn't like a tip line option anyway.
But you would think that's like a personal service. I think like personal services, you would think would have that option.
So expensive. But I'm so excited for the end results. I can't wait. Okay. One of my blood boilers we both brought to the table tonight is when people like contradict you parenting your children. Okay. So for example, like we have all these soccer games right now and they're from like 5:30 to 6:30 and they always get these snacks after. We've talked about this. So like my oldest will have a game on Monday. Nan will have one on Tuesday. Like we don't let them get the team snack unless they played. Like if T plays, he gets a snack. Nan can't run up and get a snack. And vice versa. T doesn't get one on Nan's night. It's just we're like.
Makes sense. The rule you've set for your family.
Yep. Right. And it's something we have to do because we have our daughter does not eat dinner and she is small. So like if you don't come at me, like don't force her to eat. She needs, like, the pediatrician has told me she needs to eat dinner. I'm trying to make her eat dinner.
Right.
So I'm not going to add like these snacks 5 seconds before we have dinner, especially if she hasn't like exercised. Like she sat in my lap for an hour.
Like she's not hungry. She's hungry for dinner.
Right. And then she's going to have a Rice Krispie treat and a Gatorade and not want to eat anyway. So I like straight, I like, she ran up there to like when they were all, T's team was getting a snack and like a lot of siblings were too. And she gets up there and I'm like right there. And like, I'm like, hey, Nan, we've talked about this. It is not your turn to have a snack tonight. This is just for T's team. You'll get one tomorrow. And we start walking away and mom's like, oh no, she's good. She can have one. And like puts one in her hand. And I'm like, no, she cannot. And like, I know she like means well, but I feel like this has happened a lot to me recently. Like, and even some of my good friends do it to me. And again, I feel like it's because they love my daughter. So they're trying to like, but I'm like, I don't think you realize you just like overrode me as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Even at church on Sunday, Nan was like scream singing. And this is something we were actually really working on where she loves to sing and it's so cute, but then she like will just start screaming. And we're like, there's a difference between screaming and singing. We'd love to hear you sing, you know? I gently corrected her at church on Sunday. And like one of my friends turned around, she's like, oh mom, she was just singing. And I was like, no, she wasn't. She was screaming and other people are literally trying to worship. And she was, and she knows, like, as soon as I said it, she like made her little face like, hee hee, I was screaming, you know? And I just like, it makes my blood boil because I'm like, you don't know how many background conversations we have.
Right.
Like, you don't know the context of my conversation with her. You don't need to chime in and
that's where I feel like is a sign of someone. I just love being on such the same page with someone parenting. Like if you are like together all the time with someone, like I'm like, I want you to discipline my kids.
Right.
Like, please, if you see me correct them in that and I have gone in to go to the bathroom, like you do the same thing.
Yes. 100%. Like, and I have actually done this before and gone and apologized to someone.
Because then you saw what was going on or you were like,
or I've been like, oh, I should have asked you first before I even, yeah. Cause like, we're all trying to be nice to each other's kids or whatever, but it really bothers me. It's happened like several times recently. And every time I'm like, now I have to have a second conversation with my kid. And it makes me look like a jerk to my kid because I have to continually be like reinforcing my own rules. Cause you keep overriding me.
And you feel like you look like a jerk to that parent too. And I know it's, I would rather like be a better parent to my kid than look a certain way in front of somebody.
And I literally had a conversation with Nan before the game. We had one as the game was ending and then she still ran up. So it was like the third time I had a conversation with her. So I was like, she is like,
you're like, I'm trying to discipline her, not even just say, remember our conversation because now exactly. She's disobeyed. Oh my gosh.
It was like, yeah, it was something. And then she was like sobbing and the mom's like thinks I'm evil, but I'm like, whatever, you contradicted me.
Oh, okay. I have one more because it's been on my list for a while.
Get it out there.
I've always hated this sound, but I have hated it on a more extreme level recently. I think I said, Curtis, you can pick anything you want to watch on TV. Like, I don't care. I'll watch whatever you want to watch. So he got into the Formula One show, you know, just like the behind the scenes.
The documentary.
Yeah. Like how they have the tennis one. They have the Formula One. So he has become a Formula One fan now. I mean, so much that he was like, I got to watch this race that's on at 3 a.m. in Japan.
Oh, my.
And this is why he loves it. He loves cars, like car fanatic to begin with. This is why I say I have always known I don't like this. He, as a hobby, will watch car videos on YouTube to hear the sounds of the engines revving or something.
Ugh.
And it's like, who watches YouTube? It's Curtis. But Formula One sounds are even worse because for the TV show, it's like adding to the drama. Like they're the talking head to the camera for the documentary, but the cars are revving in the background. And all I hear when that show is going is just car noises. And I don't know, I guess I've just decided I don't like the sound of car noises.
No, they're terrible.
I will leave the room if he has it on. It's not one of those things I can tune out and just like read my book while he's watching. I'm like, I cannot be in this room with you.
Thomas was super into it like in the spring. Maybe it was the first season or something because he was watching it back at our old house. And it was like the one show I'd be in our room and I'd be like, you have to put this on like volume 8. Like he'd be like, I have it on a normal volume. I'm like, every time it's like, vroom. But it, and like it's so loud.
And they
I'm
probably like, make it extra loud because I guess the people who watch it want to hear that stuff.
It's so annoying. It's a terrible sound. But he did say it was a great show.
Right. So now he's like a big fan and, you know, follows it. Not me. I get that out of here. Get that trash out of
here. It's annoying. Okay. Speaking of annoying, my other blood boiler is I think it's super annoying when you order from Old Navy, how they send all of your items in different bags at different times and give you 18,000 emails. Like, this is going to sound terrible, but I ordered 17 things the other day because I always do a capsule wardrobe for Nan for the season, like for fall and winter.
And you got them one at a time, even on the same day, I bet. I bet they showed up on your doorstep in a pile.
I mean, I think I got 6 different emails. They split the 17 things because this is like all for, it's like, you know, 5 pairs of leggings, 7 tops. You know, it's like everything she will wear from now until it's warm again. And I make sure it all kind of coordinates because she likes to mix and match, whatever. And literally it was, I'm like, there's no option like Amazon. I would love to do like.
Right. Give me some digital credit.
Yeah. Delay me and then send it all in one bag. Like I'd actually rather have it later and all in one bag, because then what's so annoying at Old Navy, when you go and try to do a return, at least at our Old Navy, they're always like, say their scanner's bad. They can never just scan, get the code on the actual delivery bag. It's never like good. So then they want the email. Well, your original order email is not the email for the return.
The and, like, one where do you find it? Because there were 10 different emails that they got delivered.
It's not the one that says your order arrived today. It's like the email that's like your order has shipped is the one with the return barcode. And then you have like 7 of them.
You need a folder in your email just for Old Navy emails to like send it to that.
Lauren, I made one. I have Old Navy shopping receipts and I just put all of them in there because it's, and also like our Old Navy doesn't have good service. So then you get there and you can't even pull it up. It's like so irritating.
what a mess.
I know. And I'm just like, I just think it's so annoying for them to send it. Like literally one of the bags today had one pair of jeggings, size 40 in it.
Right. I was going to say, and like little kid ones.
And then you're right. There was another bag that came today too with a bunch in it. And I guess like, I'm sure it's because like their warehouse and they're shipping from different places.
Maybe they're coming from different places.
But Amazon will. They'll let you do it and say, let's save boxes and like, let's get them all in one.
Old Navy doesn't care about saving the turtles.
They don't care. And so that to me, it's just annoying. Like I'm like, oh, here's another little bag. And then Thomas is like, how much did you order? And I'm like, well, 17 things to be exact, but it's looking like 1,000. It looks looking a lot worse. It's looking a lot worse right now.
Like these are pants the size of my two hands put together.
But let me tell you something that's saved my life right now. Let's move on to lifesavers. It's getting in bed at 9 and then waking up at 6. And this is something I've aspired to for years, but I haven't really held the boundary as much as I should. And this season has been so busy. I mean, you know, with work and with like all of our new commitments and school schedule and stuff, like I have to. My body physically needs me to. Like I'm talking 8:57, I'm going to start yawning. I've been getting in bed at 9 and I read for 30 minutes to an hour. And then lights are out by 10 at the latest. And then I'm getting up right at 6. Like,
does Thomas go to bed with you too?
He does not. That is something we stopped doing early in marriage because he's a night owl and I'm a morning person. It just doesn't work. So we do hang, like our kids are in bed by 7:30. So we hang out until like 9. That's our like little hour and a half to hang out or whatever. But then he stays down here stairs and watches, you know, whatever. Formula One, whatever sports thing he's watching. And yeah. And then I get up earlier too. And the other thing that's helped me with getting up is we program our coffee maker to start grinding at like literally like 6:02.
I mean, that you might as well make that a little luxury to wake up to the coffee smell already is the best.
Because all my alarm goes off and I'm always like, oh, I don't really want to get up. And then 120 seconds later, it's very light.
Walking into your room.
Yes, but it's a very light, like it's ASMR. Like a
it is, like the trickle.
And I know it's going and I'm like, let's go. Like my feet are on the ground. I've peed. I'm downstairs in my little robe starting my quiet time with a hot cup of coffee at 6:05 a.m. Like I'm ready.
Oh my gosh. I cannot wait to want hot coffee again. So that's
I know.
Me. I'm close. It might be this weekend. I might be ready for it.
Dream big. But yeah. And then I feel like my kids don't come downstairs until 6:45. Their light turns, they start getting dressed at 6:30 and then they can come down. So I'm getting like a solid 40 minutes by myself and it's like truly saving my life. Like I feel so much better about myself.
That is amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a handful of things saving my life right
now. Just start letting it rip.
Okay. First, I mean, we don't need to talk long about this, but last week kicked off a new Survivor, a new Amazing Race, and Golden Bachelor. So new Survivor and new Amazing Race are on the same night, which we have an obligation. So we have to either start them really late or like take them into the next day or two. 90-minute episodes.
I know.
This is new for both of them. I'm pumped about it. And then Golden Bachelor. I took a bachelor break for a season. I've come and gone throughout the years. I was a late arrival to the Bachelor scene in general.
The Bachelor franchise, if you will.
Right, right. But, you know, since I've read a book about the Bachelor franchise, I'm in it. But did you watch The Golden Bachelor?
Okay, so I was like a Bachelor stan from like the early days. And then I stopped. My last season was Katie, I think was her name. She's the last one. And then I was just like over it. And then I haven't watched it since. And I've seen like the promos and stuff for The Golden Bachelor, but some of like the, like, I was like,
might kinda be the one to get back into. I'm just saying. It's going to be a lot just more lovely and like
sweet. That's what I was hoping. But then one of the promos, like the joke was like, we don't have to worry about taking birth control now, lady.
Oh, gosh.
We're all like postmenopausal. And I was like, oh.
And the women actually are like, kind of catty still. Like, we're going to see some of the same storylines. There's going to be a villain, you know, but yeah, we're going to see some of that. But he, Gary Jerry, is just so endearing that you're going to be like, oh, like, he wants love. His wife died and he wants love.
And I'm rooting for Jerry from afar, maybe, but, and I used to love the franchise.
Wait, his name is
Gary.
Oh, my
God.
But it's spelled Gerry. So oh, that's the podcast, annoying. They were calling him Gajeri.
This is going to be like Parks and Rec. Like, yeah. Literally. No, but you know what? I'm like actually really into. So I'm not trying to like judge anyone who watches The Bachelor still, because my favorite thing is Love is Blind. I am so bought into that show.
I just started the new season last night.
Oh, my God. We can talk about it later. I want to hear all your thoughts.
Yeah. I'm just into it and you're ahead of me. So I'll have to text you as I'm watching it. Okay. Next, chiropractor visits. I mean, maybe people think chiropractors are like witch doctors. I don't know. I've definitely been to one when I first moved to Greenville. That was like a witch doctor.
Right. They're working.
Yeah, but not all of them are. Some of them, the one I see now, feels more like a physical therapist. Like, she's giving me like exercises and stuff. So I found her after I had Merritt, and I was throwing my back out left and right. Like,
you
had
were.
To lay flat. Yes, it was so terrible. It was a lot of like, you know, leaning over the crib and nursing and stuff. Like, my back was just, it was terrible. I have a bad back in general. But that's when I started seeing her. And come to find out, she like specializes in when you're having a baby. And like, she knows all about, she asked me so many good questions. And she's been giving me like exercises. And it just feels like such a treat. Now, do I go home and do the exercises all the time? No. But am I excited to see if maybe doing them a couple times will help a delivery or help my recovery and help my back get stronger? Yes, I'm looking forward to it. And I think about that and I think I should do them more, but I'm into it. It just feels like such a treat when I go. I feel very cared for. She asks great questions and I love it.
This is going to be like growing up when you took piano lessons and you never practiced. And then you come and your teacher would be like, let's see what you've done. And you're like, okay, let's wing this. And you just like are literally playing for the second time. And they're like, so how much did you practice? You're like, every day. They're like, okay. Like, they are like, you think you're fooling me? That's how it's going to be for you.
I relate to that so much in my life situation right now, exactly what you're describing. But also as a fourth grader, when this old man would come to my house to teach me piano. And I think we just had to part ways because, you know, I was not practicing and it was probably very evident. And I'm pretty sure I lied about it like that. Like, been working on it.
I was very competitive with my siblings. And my mom said, whoever played the piano longest got to keep our family piano. And so I played the longest in the middle school. But finally, I got to the point and I was like, I can't just keep lying to these instructors like and saying I'm doing more than I am. So I'm just not. But I am sad
that
I didn't play
longer.
That does
not feel like the motivation. That would not have been like the prize for me.
Really?
To keep the piano.
I'm extremely sentimental and I love traditions. And I was close. Like, my sister, she might have gone to eighth grade. So I must have gone to high school. My brother gave up a lot sooner, but I was motivated. And I have it. We've got it. We've got it in storage. It's going to the new house. Thomas can freaking do anything.
He can play the piano.
He can listen
to a song.
Hear a song and then, yes, figure it out. What is that? Play by ear. I don't know. It's disturbing. But his mom was a music teacher.
I want to hear him play some of our millennial music.
Seriously. He can do guitar, piano, drums. I'm like, get out. I'm like, all I do is wipe cracks and get snacks. Okay. as we have said once before. Do you have any other lifesavers?
One more. Yes, one more. So I took a picture of this, not that it's going to help our listeners, but maybe it'll help me describe to you what it is. As we're entering soup season, you know, 10 recipes for your fall when it's 82 degrees outside. I made chili this Saturday because I was just manifesting that it was going to be fall.
God bless you.
It was so hot. But I love soup. I love chili. I love it for leftovers. Have you ever seen something like this? I didn't know what to call it. A mitten for your bowl. It was like from Etsy. My sister-in-law gave it to me as a gift for Christmas or something. It's like handmade, reversible. You put it just underneath your bowl. It's kind of like an oven mitt, but it fits for your bowl. So when you put it in the microwave, you don't have to burn your hands off when you get it out of the microwave. And I just eat my soup in my bowl like that. If I spill it on it, I just toss it right in the washer.
It almost reminds me of those, like, how we'd have them for paper plates. Your grandma would have them, like the wicker things, just to get more structure to your paper plate. But it's like,
we'd have those in my house.
Smart.
But washable, just like cotton. I don't know what it's made out of, cotton with something inside of it.
Love it.
I highly recommend. I don't know if I can like find it on Etsy and link it. We'll not make any money from this ad, but get a mitten for your bowl for soup season.
Iconic. Okay. A little luxury. So my little luxury right now, I was actually motivated by you. I think it was our conversation one or two episodes ago, I was talking about how the annoying amount of time I have between kindergarten drop-off and preschool drop-off. And you were like, yep, you need to focus on house chores. And I'm like, you're right. And so I've been trying to like literally save stuff I'd normally do after the kids go to bed and be like, I will just do it during this 1 hour.
Yes.
But then sometimes I just don't have anything. And my kids do really well in the morning because they all... I'm sorry to say this for those of you, my kids like all sleep really well. Like they're down at 7:30. I don't see them for 12 hours. You know, they're like doing well in the morning. Like they're all well rested. They're good. So like I can do stuff, but the one thing I cannot do is leave the room and go to my computer. That's when they're like, so I can't actually do work.
They sense that you want to actually get something done.
Literally. Yeah. So it has to be a house thing. But one of the things I've been doing is if I don't have a random chore to do or whatever, I've just been like washing my sheets extra. So normally I'm like a, you know, once a week person, like every Saturday I wash our sheets, but now I probably do it like two, sometimes three times a week because I'm like,
oh my.
I'm like, I've got nothing to do. I'll just like take my, well, you know, we only have our fitted sheet and then our blanket. Right. So I'm still only doing the blanket once a week. But I'm doing our fitted sheet and our pillowcases now two or three times a week because I can throw it in. I do it on a quick wash. That's like 25 minutes. Then I get it in the dryer. By the time I come home from picking them up, it's like ready. And like clean sheets just hit.
They do.
It every time that Thomas doesn't get it, I'll be like, oh, notice anything different? And he's like, no. I'm like, I washed the sheets this morning. He's like, can't tell. I'm like, how?
That is rude.
So I don't care because it means so much to me. I don't care. Like, it feels so different to me.
So different. Curtis and I both slide into clean sheets and we're both like, this is the best. Like, it is something that we both just get so excited about. And I do mine every Friday. And I always wash them and he always puts them on. Putting sheets back on is the worst household chore to me.
It is. It's not fun.
I cannot stand it. Bunk beds, guest bed, ew, my bed, oh my God, any
bunk
of them.
Bed, like a bunk bed them. Pressed against the wall. Get out of here.
Curtis said he would rather change the top bunk sheets than the bottom bunk.
What?
I don't know. He says he thinks it's easier.
No, there's no logic to that.
I
guess because he's tall, maybe he's like, but he can hit his head on the ceiling. That makes no sense. T has wanted bunk beds and we've been like, no, because I've literally told Thomas, even at our last house, he had this double bed that was like pressed into this corner alcove. So it's two, you know, multiple sides are like against it. And I would like sometimes just like not even put the fitted sheet on. I would just like take the loose one, just like throw it on top. I'd be like, whatever.
They're going to mess it up anyway.
They're going to be.
I do not wash my kids' sheets every Friday.
You're what?
I do not wash my kids' sheets every Friday.
No, they don't appreciate it.
Not at all.
I wash it when they're getting a little snotty. I'm like, all right, we should probably wash this. It's looking a little crusty.
Or if they wet the bed.
Well, yeah, of course. We're not animals, Lauren.
I'm just saying, that's when we can count on it, at least.
Literally this morning, Tom was like, how'd you sleep last night? I was like, so good, because the clean sheets. He was like, that doesn't impact your sleep. I was like, 100%
does. 100%
it does. 100%.
Get out of here.
Oh, this was your little luxury before. I just saw it.
I know. But
the fact
they're
that
back.
We only
I got
like 15 podcast episodes and this has made it twice is hysterical. All right. Tell the people.
I need everyone to know this might not be in your local Costco, but at mine, mini quiches are back. They've been gone I feel like I finally, I'm a newer Costco member, or I say that, I guess it's been a year. It feels like a lot shorter than that. But I feel like I know where things are now. And sometimes things just disappear. Mm-hmm. Like I love the mini quiches for a girl lunch or a girl dinner, if it's just me. Tiny little quiches that are served basically at baby showers and wedding showers. They're delicious lunch. And they were gone for so long. And the angels sung, the light from heaven shone down, and the mini quiches were there when I walked by this week. So I'm
so happy for you.
Thank
I
think you.
I heard a rumor on our street is that we're getting a Costco. And I'm so excited. I know. We'll see, because our Sam's Club doesn't have those. All right. I have an unpopular opinion. You have questions that need answers. So
yep.
This is something I've been thinking about a lot. And my unpopular opinion is I kind of like buying cheap clothes. And here's why I say that. Like, and this is probably, again, just like my current season of life. But like, my kids ruin everything. And it's just nice to not, like, I get disappointed when things get ruined by them. But then I'm like, okay, at least I only spent like $15 on this from old.
So are you talking about cheap clothes for them or for you or what?
Both. Honestly, both. Like even, okay, so the other day, I don't know if you can even tell on my pajamas. These are nicer pajamas I got from Soma. I don't know what happened in the wash, but like a lot of things almost have like blue.
That's happened to me before.
How? Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know. Like, I'm usually
I think
really
it's somehow the detergent does it, but I don't know the science and behind it.
I don't
it.
Know how to get it out.
Nope.
And it happened to a lot of my clothing items. And honestly, it's almost always by the collar. But I had to throw out one of my favorite little, like, this is so dumb, but it was like, it was almost like a cropped sweatshirt from Target like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I liked it so much. And I put it on the other day for a girl's night and it had the stuff on it. And I had to toss it and I was disappointed. But then I was like, I'm so glad I only probably spent $20 on this literally 3 years
And you
years
wore
ago.
It for 3 years. So you definitely got your money's worth.
And that's where I'm like, maybe it's just me and I'm not as good about cleaning stuff and being conscientious about my laundry. But I also think it's partially my kids too. Like, yeah, just like even the other day. Oh, okay. This a great example. I was getting out my fall clothes. I do have some nice things, like obviously, but like I put on my Spanx faux leather leggings that I love that are mm-hmm. expensive. And like Rob, my 18-month-old, came up and like hugged me. And it was just like snot rocket down them. Oh. And I'm like, these are so expensive. And I hate wash. I don't want to wash them because I want to keep them good and not like, and you know, it's like, that's where I'm like,
this is why we can't have nice things.
Exactly. And it's just kind of nice because like when he does that to like my colorful koala, like Amazon leggings, I'm like, whatever. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Literally went to someone's house today after school and like, a friend who they'd bought a house, renovated it. She was showing me, I like walked past a mirror and I saw like all these just like streaks in the light of like snot rockets, like all over my outfit. And I was just like, whatever. But like when it's just something nice, so there's just, I just think unpopular opinion in this season, it's almost too much pressure to have nice clothes. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like when I'm like shopping trends, I only want to buy like cheap stuff from Target because it is a trend. Like it's not going to last. So I don't want to invest in like a nice piece of a trend that's I'm not going to keep for more than like 2 or 3 years, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something that weirds me out a little bit about the cheap clothing. I have, and this kind of goes into the questions that need answers, but I have found myself in a Reels algorithm of influencers trying on clothes. And so I've been influenced to buy things that I found on Instagram. And when they come like shipped from China in airtight compartments, and this is, I brought up my phone because I sent a picture to my sister because I thought it was so funny. This is what it said on it. Fashion wear, good style, we can give you best chose. That's what it said. That was like the tagline for the Chinese company, I guess. It's this blue thing behind me, a scuba Lululemon dupe sweatshirt. Fashion wear, good style, we can give you best shows. What?
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm like, I don't know. I guess this is the definition of fast fashion. Like somebody in a factory somewhere is,
which is scary.
Yeah, I don't. It's, so it's like, I don't. How do I feel about this? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I will say too something I thought about. Like Kelly was talking, Stumpy the car mom was talking about this on her stories the other day, maybe her podcast, that about trying to buy things that are like 100% cotton because they just wash better. And I've noticed that with those like cheap dupes I get off Amazon, they just wash so poorly because they're like just trash material. you know, and then it's like you wear it a couple times, but then they've gotten so distorted in the wash. It's like, you know, so it's hard. It's a balance.
Yeah. When I get it, I'm like, is this too cheap? Does it,
yeah,
does it fit okay? So I would wear it because it's that cheap, or I, yeah, it's a delicate dance.
I feel like even as I said that about the cheap clothes, now I'm thinking about like my favorite local boutique, Gigi's, and everything they have is so high quality. And I'm like obsessed with what they have. It's more just like, I aspire to be that person that could wear that every day, that my everyday clothes just have to be cheap.
Yeah.
I can't keep them. Like, I do have a couple of nice things from Gigi's. I just like don't even wash them because I don't want to ruin them, you know?
Right. Or it's hand wash only, AKA never wash it.
Exactly.
Okay. On the fashion hole that I've been down, it's just like, why am I buying things? These things are not going to fit me for forever. That's how I felt about that scuba dupe. I'm like, okay, it's like, you know, cropped in the front. Can I wear it now? No.
No, ew.
Might I want to wear it later? Yeah. But do I keep it? I don't know. It's still just sitting there. But have you found this part of the internet yet? These try-ons where it's, I mean, these people are probably making a lot of money because I know you make pennies off of Amazon, but if you're doing it all the time, they're having hauls and they're trying them on, and I'm sure they just send them back, but it's the quick ASMR. I was trying to think of today. I was like, do I know what ASMR stands for? No, I don't think so. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I looked it up just the other day, actually, because I said it on my other podcast and I was like, I want to make sure I know what it means. It's something about like
sensory, I don't know, motor, the sounds. Most people probably know what we're talking about, but I'm just curious what that acronym is. But they edit it together real quick.
And sorry, it's an autonomous sensory meridian response in your brain. It causes like a pleasant feeling,
like dopamine euphoria. Because yes. You're hearing it. Yeah. Okay. Well, the influencer try-ons are like, they like tear open the Amazon bag or cut open the box, and they always start the exact same. And then they pour it out. So it's like all these bags pouring out, and they do it over and over and over. It's like all these sounds. And I'm like, okay, I'm not here for the ASMR. I just like want to see what it looks like. And then they put it on. They're almost the exact same videos over and over and over again. And they might talk over it like, so cute, and like do the same kind of poses. But then
are they doing that pose where they take their toe and then they cross it over the front? Why is that a thing right now?
Pull the shirt down. I mean, there's so many poses. I can like picture all of them.
Cross the ankle. Like I'm like, I don't know why that's like a thing.
I don't know. I really have found myself in here. I'm like, if I keep watching this, I'm not going to get the funny stuff anymore. This is going to be my algorithm. And they make it really easy to shop because they all have that Manny chat where it's like, put the word link in the comments. And now I'm shopping all their things and I'm on their Amazon storefront and I'm buying all. I'm like, this is dangerous.
It is. Okay. Here's the thing I've learned about influencers is you can't find them in your explore feed. You have to like commit to people whose opinion, and you know this, we're not going to name any names, but people who you know they like will only show you the high quality stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think I've made that mistake recently.
Like you've bought some things from people and you're like, this is not. And what I've started to notice from people that do not show great stuff is like, I'll be like, wait, I got that. It doesn't look good on me. And I know it's like, they never show you like a full 180. I'm like, I bet she has the back of this tucked up.
Pinned up. Yeah.
To make it look so much cuter and more fitted. Cause when I got it, it was not that shape, you know, or whatever. And I
had to follow people with who had like the same body. Yes. The same body type. Because I know there are people that you like that I'm like, yeah, I like her style, but it's never going to fit me like that. Like it fits her or that it fits you. And I have found, that's why I like the explore page. Cause I'm like, oh, I'm a 5'10 mom postpartum, like have three kids. Here's some fashion. Here's how to make it work for you. And I'm like, oh yes, that's me. I don't know how to dress now.
Right.
But that's smart to not find the people in the explore page because I have been getting sucked into that lately. Okay. And then my last question that needs answers is what kind of underwear, like not what kind of underwear, what brands of underwear are we wearing these days? Because I need to refresh my drawer and I just don't have a place where
like a go-to spot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to, and I still kind of like the brand Blush. I mean, I'd say they're like a little pricier. I mean, maybe $10 I don't remember, but because I haven't bought some in a while, but they eventually wear out. And I'm like,
right.
I mean, maybe I should be buying underwear more frequently that they don't need to be like wearing out. I don't know. And then I feel like you told me about somewhere.
Listen, my thing is and I'll be talking about this as we get closer to the holidays, about stocking my own stocking. I'm very passionate about this. It's actually one of my favorite hobbies.
I think I either did it at Christmas or Valentine's Day or something.
So basically for Christmas, and I usually do it every other year. So this is about to be my year when I need to do it. Okay. I buy myself like new underwear. I think I've decided, I was talking to my friend Keely the other day about towels. And I feel like towels is just like, you just need to get like towels from Home Goods and just buy new ones every 9 to 12 months. Cause towels just get crusty. Like,
we've had the same ones from Pottery Barn since we got married. And I feel like they're still great quality.
That's crazy. Cause I was going to say, I bought the Bowl and Branch ones that like so many influencers talk about. And like, even those like 5-6 months in, I was like, these are crusty. Like,
I'll say the towels in my kids' bathroom are gross. Those were like Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah. I don't know, but I feel like underwear and something like you're using so much, it's like they just need to be replaced. Like, we can't be treating underwear like we treat $100 pair of jeans that you could wear for 10 years. You know right. what I mean?
And like, let's be real. I've gotten my money's worth out of them. Like right. if I spend the money on them, I can wear the same ones once a week.
Right. Well, let's say this. If you're listening and you are passionate about your underwear company, like the brand, let us know, because I'm looking, I've been an Aerie girl just because of the price and stuff like that. And I feel like they're decent, but I do think it's tricky because it's hard to buy underwear on the internet. Cause I feel like you really need to feel the material.
I don't like the material of Aerie. I think I've bought Third Love. Maybe I bought from someone, but I thought it was you who recommended, but I was like, I don't know what size I am. I don't know if I'm going to like the material. And then by the time I like got them, it was too late to return them, or the returning was complicated. I need an easy return. I need to rest assured that I'm going to have the right fit immediately. I don't know.
Yeah, we have an Aerie where I live. So that's like one of the only reasons why I've been kind of committed to it, is because I can go in and really make sure, because they even have, and like, I don't even know online what the different words mean when they're trying to describe the material. I'm like, I don't know. I need to go feel it, you know?
Well, you know where I found the blush ones first?
Where? Oh, my gosh. What was that store called? In Greenville?
Alina Marie's Fine Lingerie.
Have we told this story on the podcast?
I don't know, but the world needs to know. The world needs to hear about it. If you're ever in Greenville, there's a local underwear shop. I mean, Fine Lingerie. I mean, it's from casual every day to fancy, but she feels like you should wear it every day kind of thing. I don't know how how she just exists, because it's like a little mom and pop. She works there every day. She's the only employee. And you walk in and this is her life's mission. She's going to tear down Victoria's Secret and build you up as to why you need everything from the store. And then you trust her and you're like, I mean, yeah, I guess so. But she would treat every piece of bra, underwear, undergarments as its own fashion statement. Like, even if you went in to get a nude bra to wear under all of your t-shirts, she's going to try and sell you on a bright red, sexy top that you could just like throw under a leather jacket for a night on the town.
And you're like, yeah, I will.
I don't wear that. That's not like my style.
I can attest to this, because when Lauren was getting married, I couldn't come to your bachelorette party or whatever, or weekend for some reason. I knew
it was so fun. Why weren't you there?
I can't remember, but I know we were living, maybe I had like winter weekend or something for Young Life. Like, and I was living far away. I couldn't come. So I came up on a different weekend just to spend with you and be together. And so we went to this store together and I was like, I'm going to get you something, like try on some stuff. Like, I'll get it since I can't come to the bachelorette party, whatever. And while you were in the back trying things on, what's her name again?
Alina Marie.
Alina Marie.
Alyssa.
Alyssa? I don't know.
While you're
I think it's Alyssa. She literally comes up to me. Honestly, this would never fly in 2023. She literally picks up my boobs and is like, no, 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 no. What kind of bra are you wearing? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I think like, just like, I got this at Victoria's Secret maybe in high school. And she was like, get in the dressing room. She literally, and she was like, you are just doing yourself such a disservice to this body. And honestly, she was right. This is before I had kids. I should have been respecting what I had and known what I had before they were touching my ankles. And she like literally, and I ended up leaving. I had no money for this. And I remember literally coming back and telling Thomas, like, I left with a bra. And he was like, we literally can't afford this. And I was like, I was so peer pressured.
And like, she wants to see, her name is Elisa Marie.
Elisa.
And she, when you go to try it on, she wants to see it on you.
You're walking in your lingerie. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no time to be
modesty.
Modest. No. So she wants you to open the door. She's going to give you tips like lean forward and pull your breast up so literally that they like fit in these cups. And I mean, I'm more outspoken than I probably was the very first time I went in there, but I definitely am like, nope, don't like this. Don't like, but she knows her stuff. She's like, okay, like we need longer straps. This is too bunchy right here. But you know, she still welcomes your opinions on like, I don't like I don't know all the terms, but she knows her stuff. She's good at what she
does.
I did finally
get rid of the bra that I had from there. Like in the move to this rental house, it went in my like donation or getaway pile.
Did it
pile.
Not fit, or you didn't like it, or what?
I mean, it was just like a push-up bra. And I was like, I'm literally not wearing a push-up bra ever.
Right. With your tube top.
I'm not. No. Yeah, with my tube top. Okay. I think that was the last episode we talked about that. Okay. Before we get into business banter, I want to introduce a new segment idea. This is a surprise for you.
I would love to see it. Yeah, it doesn't, you didn't tell me what this was.
I know, because I want to surprise you. I would like to have, a la our role model, Kendra Adachi, I would like to have a decide once category and hear what's something you've decided once recently. So if you all do not follow the lazy genius, Kendra Adachi, you should, dream podcast guest for BBB. One other thing I'll say about Kendra is I look forward to her monthly email every month. Like it came out today for September and I was so excited. I had lunch by myself.
The lazy letter.
That's
what it's called, right?
And I'm like so excited to read what she says. Like I just enjoy it so thoroughly, but she has all these principles about how to be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't. And one of her lazy genius principles is deciding once and just making decisions about things and then just knowing that that's like what you're going to do. And so I feel like this is something I'm always trying to apply to my life. So I want us to talk about it.
And she says, decide once until it doesn't serve you anymore.
Right.
Like if you find yourself getting stressed about it or you're sick of it, if it's not serving you or your family or, you know, whatever purpose you decided that once for, then trash it, move on and change it.
And I've done this for so many things. Like
so many. I've got one right now.
I have like a whole list of things, but because I'm just going to try to pick one because I feel like we're going to want to do this every time.
Yeah.
But one of the things I decided once on in this season is when in doubt, chemistry is the choice I make. So like I've decided once that until the end of 2023. So like when in doubt, if I'm behind on a chemistry deadline and I'm like, do I need to get a sitter for a couple more hours this week or should I like not do that? I'm going to get the sitter until the end of 2023. Or do I have time to go to the gym today or should I finish this for chemistry? When in doubt, choose chemistry. Because like that is for the sake of my family's sanity, I have to finish this project. And so I've just decided once.
Let it be known. When you share this on your Instagram stories, Kendra Adachi replied.
She DM'd me.
And she DM'd you and she said, I've never heard of anyone deciding once about anything related to chemistry. She's out there listening.
I responded in all caps, OMG, Kendra, I love you and I cannot believe you're responding back. And then I sent her like six other DMs in a row like a psychopath because I was just like panicked. But she did respond. So that's why I felt like we needed a whole entire category for her. And also she comes on the podcast one day, we can reveal the category to her. How fun will that be?
She might be a little overwhelmed. I don't know.
I think I've really planted some seeds of a relationship with her.
I think so too. My decide once that I've really been leaning into is I have my decide once meal that I make for everybody who's having a baby. And that's a lot of people right now. I mean, this is the first week that this Monday through Friday that I haven't had someone. I have one next week. I had two last week. I mean, I'm bringing meals to people left and right. And I'll tell you, I make Naptime Kitchens Greek-ish chicken. I put that in the crock pot and make it. If I want it at my house, which we usually do, it's one of our favorites, I'll double it and have some for us. Then about 30 minutes before it's time to go, I'm telling you this out of order, actually, I make the rice for it. I can prep the stuff if I'm making it for both of us or in that 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock time when I'm trying to kill time with my kids before my husband gets home, I'm chopping cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers. I've got feta cheese ready to go. I'm cutting up an avocado. So you make this whole Greek bowl that they can assemble themselves. It's really good for leftovers. And I make a thing of brownies. I always put it in tinfoil things, to-go things, and I take it to them. And I always put paper goods in there too. So like paper plates, forks, knives, everything. So they just, okay, trash it after. Every time I'm thinking, do we want to eat this, you know, twice a week? I don't know. We don't always have to do it. But my decide once, it requires zero mental energy.
Right.
Whether the person is gluten-free, whether they're sick of lasagnas, Greek chicken is often not on the sign up. And you know, a lot of people on a sign up genius will say like TBD.
Right.
I put it in every time. Me too. I'm like, you know, you're getting Greek chicken. You can just plan on it because I'm already planning on it. I have to use zero mental energy on this.
It's a game changer. And okay, this is my favorite side to do with that. You should try it sometime, even though it won't work for your dairy free people. It's quinoa and then black beans and feta cheese and then avocado chopped up. And you mix it together and you put the feta and stuff in when the quinoa is still warm and it like kind of gets gooey. It's so good. When I was a vegetarian for a long time.
You feel like that goes with the meal? I feel like
I think
like
it goes with the
kind
chicken.
Of like rice.
No, okay. Instead of rice.
Instead of rice, got it.
And then I do the chicken on top and that Greekish chicken juice gets in it. It was like that quinoa combo was something my roommates and I made a ton in college. When like, remember in college, like you just like didn't know how to make meat. So you just like were a vegetarian basically.
Right.
Like, because you didn't know. Like this is something
didn't have a crock pot, didn't have anything. What
yeah,
did I
we,
make?
I think we had a George Foreman and we put like hot dogs in it sometimes.
Definitely.
You know, I love that. My decide once for the meal, because you were the one who encouraged me to do that. And I think Nat Trend Kitchen talks about this too, because you feel like it's almost boring because you've done it so much, but they don't.
No.
They're not having it. Mine is breakfast casserole because it's one recipe and I make it into, I split it into two of like the square easy foil. So we keep one, they keep one. And I love it because sometimes I feel like when you're getting the meals, you almost can get a backlog of like so many leftovers and like, or you just might be like not feeling it. So I love to do the breakfast casserole. I cut and wash a bunch of fruit for them for like their kids, especially if they have other kids. And then I make muffins and I bring that because then if they don't want it, they can freeze it or they can eat it the next morning. And it's like one of my favorite things. And then again, like you said, we get the other half. And the only problem is it's not gluten or dairy free. So when I do have a GFDF person, I have an alternate meal, but this is like my go-to favorite. And it's so simple.
And I don't have it very often. So I didn't even have to think about that until recently. And then I was like, oh, this is gluten free.
Yeah, I know. I was happy for you. That like, I also like this. I think the breakfast casserole has been a success too, because so many of my friends are having their second, third kids, whatever. And like their kids aren't going to eat a vegetable.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, I'm not going to try to make your kid eat a vegetable. So like,
but one of my friends told me that the Greek chicken bowl idea was really helpful for her kids because it was dissected already. And she was like, oh, look, they'll eat some cucumbers. They'll eat some tomatoes. They'll eat plain rice or whatever. So
totally
helpful for kids too.
I love
but
that.
But I also am like, are they like, okay, this is year three of me, you know, the third time they've had a baby of getting the same food?
No. Also, like the fact that you just mentioned that, I need to make that again in our rotation. It's not Thomas's favorite. I have like another Greek chicken I make on sheet pans that he likes better, but I love that one because I love the crock pot.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just make it for my lunches.
Maybe that needs to be a little luxury for you. Yeah. A hot lunch.
That's another thing. Oh, I said I wouldn't do two, but I'm going to. Another decide once I've been doing is every week I pick one lunch item that's my lunch item for the week. Like, so I'll go to Publix and get Boar's Head deli meat, and that will be, I'll have sandwiches this week. Or then, you know, next week I'm going to make the Naptime Kitchen Greek chicken. And that's what I'm just going to eat it every day for five days because I love having good lunch.
That's going to be such a treat, a hot lunch. Love it. Are you a business owner wondering how to take your marketing dollars farther? The answer is Facebook ads. But listen, you don't have time to figure out the ever-changing landscape that Meta is known for. You need an all-in-one ad strategist to create and write the ad and then get your products or services out to the right people. And that's where Numbers Drive comes in. Numbers Drive, formerly known as Ads by Curtis, is the approachable way to achieve big marketing results. Visit adsbycurtis.com to read more and set up your consult call so that you can drive your marketing strategies using data-informed decisions through full-service Facebook ads. That's adsbycurtis.com, and we'll also link it in the show notes. Now, back to the show.
So it's time for some business banter, and we just decided to share some of the best business decisions that we feel like we've made in the hopes that it would encourage those of you listening that maybe have your own businesses. So I will say one of the best business decisions I made was before I started hiring people to help me, which was absolutely a wonderful business decision. my husband, who is a small business coach, walked me through some of their training and curriculum. And they have something called a delegation roadmap. And essentially, you write out all the things you do in your business or the things you should be. And then you rank them as, do they give me life? Am I neutral towards them? Or do they suck the life out of me? And then you also rank them like 1, 2, 3. 1, I feel like only I could do this. 2, I probably could train someone to do this, but it would require effort. And then 3, literally anyone could do this. And you write them all out. And then you start hiring out the 3s and the things that suck your life, the life out of you. So like the anyone could do this and it sucks life out of me. So like the first thing I hired out was cleaning.
I bet we could guess.
Yeah. Cleaning. No, not social media. Haven't even gotten there, but like cleaning my house. And I have like a once a month person who comes and does the deep clean of my house. So like I do not deep clean my house. Like obviously if like something happens in the middle of the month, I'm going to clean it because I'm not disgusting. And I like vacuum every day and stuff like that in my kitchen because I'm a psycho with my Dyson vac. But just doing that, I feel like really helped me be strategic about the things that I was hiring help for and making sure I was, and like I've like systemically worked, or not systemically, I've systematically worked through the list. Because technically your dream job then should be you only doing the things that only you can do and that also bring you life. And yes. I'm getting closer and closer there with like every person that I hire or thing that I figure out with my business. I feel like that's, I think being really strategic before you start hiring and not like just rushing into it for the sake of doing it was like a good business decision.
And it gives you a roadmap of, okay, when I do have some capacity either to train someone, here's where I go, or I have the margin in my profit to hire someone. Okay. Here is where I'm going to go. And you really like know the order of like your next plan of attack when you have it laid out like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the best business decisions I ever made was in 2020, taking Amy Porterfield's Digital Course Academy.
Yeah.
We mentioned it on a past episode, but Amy Porterfield is known for online marketing. She has a digital course that teaches you how to create a digital course. And at that point, I think it was the biggest expense or investment in my business that I had ever made. So I know we're not talking about like best investments, but it was a scary investment for me at the time because it felt like, oh my gosh, I'm committing to this. But that made me follow through and made me do it. It was great for learning how to create a course, but even just her bonuses that came with it were worth their weight in gold. So about Facebook ads, about email marketing. I just learned a lot and I have applied a lot of the principles to other things like my membership or when I'm writing sales emails for something. I'm sending tons of emails because I know that not everyone's reading all of them. You know, if they don't want them, they'll get off my email list. Like I just learned a lot and like reframed what I think about online marketing from a lot of her principles and it grew my confidence a lot.
That was worth every penny. Cause like, I'm the same, like I didn't, when I took it because you told me I should too, I didn't become obsessed with like writing courses. Like I did write a course. I'm still trying to figure out what I want to do with that moving forward, but just how much I learned in general that applies to so many things was so valuable.
I feel like it made me take my business pretty seriously too.
Right. Cause it was such a big investment.
Yeah. Which rightfully so. I'm glad that it like changed my mindset around that.
Totally. I will say another one of the best business decisions I ever made was, I think it was in 2021, I hired a professional designer to redo my website. And the way that we were laying it out, I had these different like category buttons. And she was like, you can only fit 8 like categories. That's like only what the screen will fit. And I was so bummed because I think at the time, like I'd been blogging since I'd started doing this. And I had like 25 categories. And it forced me to narrow down what I talk about to 8 key topics. And now I only talk about those 8 things because I want every podcast, every blog post to go into one of those categories. And I feel like, and then from that, I made a lead magnet for each of those categories. So I have a very specific lead magnet, which is like a freebie to entice people to join my email list for each of my categories, my content pillars, if you will be the term. And I feel like it's made my email list the right people. And that's another one of my best businesses. And my biggest mistake was I wish I'd started an email list sooner because it has been slow growth. I mean, you know, Numbers Drive, aka Facebook Ads by Curtis, has helped me like jump higher in my email list. But like, I'm at 13,000 teachers on my email list, and I truly believe they are the right teachers. Like, I have excellent open rates, excellent click rates. Obviously, I know people in this industry that have way larger, you know, email lists, but I don't think they have the same stats because it's not necessarily the right people. And I'm making sure that I'm only getting the right people. And I feel like that's been narrowing down on that has been a great business decision.
Yeah. I will say similar, like in the content realm, when I switched to making my long form content just a more serious endeavor, this happened around 2020, I think, when I knew I was going to take some time off having Merit. It was the first time I started scheduling things like social media, which is wild because, I mean, there was no thought process behind it. I would like hit evening time and be like, what should I post on social media? And since August 2020, I have had a scheduled post every night. It makes me less stressed, but two, it puts intentionality behind it. So I am posting a lead magnet, a freebie for people to come onto my email list once a week. I'm posting about 3 products a week, and which that's the point. I want people to buy my products, but they're not going to buy them if they don't know about them.
Right.
So I'm sharing about that. I'm always sharing a podcast or a blog post. Like, I have a schedule and it helps keep everything in line. So from the back end, that looks like a spreadsheet, nothing fancy. Maybe we're about to get fancy with ClickUp. We'll see. But it's not fancy, but it keeps the pillar in mind. Like, mm-hmm. This is what I'm talking about this month and this week. And this is the lead magnet that goes with it. And before, I was just very haphazard about it and not intentional. And I think if I'm driving my business forward and I'm saying, okay, during this season, I'm pushing this more expensive resource or this course that I've created or this podcast series or whatever it is, there's so much more intention and I can plan a whole year out. Like, I'm not a planner at all, but when I can see that by year, by quarter, by month, by week, by day, I mean, it's insane.
I know.
The planning behind my business, it's never anything I probably thought I would do, but now I can't imagine my life without it.
Are you going to keep your Google spreadsheet content calendar that I created now that you're going to have all your fancy ClickUp stuff?
I mean, I've been using it for years, but she told me that I was about to create something in Airtable that was almost like I could redo things, especially for yours with like products year after year.
Yeah.
Because you post about one product, you know, at that certain time of the year where the teachers are using it, I can use the same caption from February 13th.
Of course you
can. And she's going to show me. I was like, do I need to create a whole Airtable for that? She was like, no, I'll do it for you.
That's amazing. What?
So I think I'm going to be able to automate a lot of things with ClickUp, but you know, my brain does not work that way. So I'm going to see what my ClickUp VIP week wizard, Casey Ackerman, is going to do for me in 2 weeks. So we'll see.
That's so exciting. Yeah. Okay. I would say one of the best, I'll give one more. The best business decisions I've ever made was being consistent about always having a long form piece of content that I'm putting out weekly, and then also picking one place to always show up consistently. And, you know, at one point in my business, my long form was blogging. Now it's podcasting. I know people who do YouTube. Like, I feel like there's so many things you can do, but just showing
like Brittany Heggie when we had on for Mix of Math, and she says she's never done long form content.
Which, like,
what
is amazing. But I think for my products, because they're at such a high price point,
yes,
like you can enter her membership, I think for, she said like $27. That's a low mm-hmm. price point. I'm asking people to spend $350, they need to know and like and trust me. And so I think for my business, that's been so important because the stakes are so high. And for digital resources, they can't buy it and return it. It's not like, right, okay, buy these really nice jeans, you hate them, just return them. It's like, no, you can't, because you've already downloaded on your computer. So there's no such thing as returning it. And so I think having that long form content, and then for me, it's been choosing my email list to be the place that I show up. Like, I put a lot of time into writing emails with stories to try to like engage my email list. I get so many responses to my email list every time I send out an email weekly.
It's podcast though too. It's like, can you imagine you did not put out a podcast for the week? No, you do that every week. And same with an email. I'm like, I would be failing if I didn't put something out. What?
Well, and that's where like I have social media all the time because I've hired someone to do it. But like for me, like I don't feel guilty not going on stories for 4 days like I did. I don't think I was on stories once last week because I went dark working on chem and stuff. And I don't feel bad because they're hearing, if they want to find me, they know where to find me.
Exactly.
I'll have the automated stuff. And like, I used to be all in on Pinterest and I gave up on that. And like, I just feel like I think it was a good decision to pick one thing and like go hard in the paint and then like automate or offload the other things. Especially nowadays, I think about people starting their businesses in 2023, how much pressure there probably is to market and blog and do all this stuff. Like,
that's what I was going to say to listeners who are maybe earlier on in their businesses. You feel the pressure to be in all the places and to sign up for an account with everything. I'm like, I'm not doing Threads. Like, I don't know if it was you or me that said like, hey, have you seen Threads? And I was like, as your social media manager,
no, I'm not said, doing it. I don't know and I don't care. Like, people have asked me all the time, are you on Twitter? I'm like, no, and I never will be. I can't. Like, I can't do another thing. Like, Reels is already enough work for me. Like, I didn't even want to do that, you know? And you do my Reels. So I'm like, this isn't even hard. But I just think, and like, I mean, think about when you and I started, like we had blogs and they were on like Blogger. Like I was like, it's not rocketscience.blogspot.com. I didn't have like a domain. And now I just think there's so much pressure when at the end of the day, if you're doing what we're doing, the bread and butter is quality products. Mm-hmm. Then from there. So I just think that was a good decision to just like stay in my lane, stick to my strengths and not feel, let other people feel the pressure and noise of like doing the most when you don't have to. If you don't want to, if you want to, great.
Well, I had thought some of those same things that you did about building an email list. But I think the one I'm going to go with as the, if this is our last one, is diversifying my income.
Lauren, I'm so glad you said this because this is a strength of yours. And this is something like I don't do as well, like a lot. You do this really well. I'm excited for you to talk about this.
Well, I don't know that I have figured it out. I'm definitely still working on it. And I think it's a strength because I don't like to do just one thing. I'm like captivated by a lot of different things. And when people, as in me, as in other people, like this year in particular has seemed like each month, TPT, you don't know if you're going to beat your month before. It's like, oh, I'm going to get close. Like it's not this, as you've been in business longer, your growth each year, year after year is going to get smaller. Like you're not just going to be this tiny store that now is on the map. So we're seeing like less percentage of growth each year, which I think is to be expected. But Curtis, my numbers guy, my CFO, if you will look at my numbers and be like, okay, this is what made you the most money. Like do more of this. And my business has grown because I've diversified my income. So what I mean by that is I've always had my TPT store. I've made passive income from basically like an Etsy storefront for educators. They can go in and they can download things. And that's great. I can like make money in my sleep with that. I've added on to that some things that like I know I'm going to get paid every month by doing your social media. And that's something I don't mind doing. And I'm doing it for myself anyway. So I've got some systems.
You have some like retainer clients, you'd say.
Yeah.
Like, and then with the Facebook ads too.
Right. So well, that one, I would take on more social media, but I just don't. I'm like, will everybody have the same? I don't know, like you have brand photos and we communicate well. Like there are things that I already know about like you being a client of mine, if I say that, that I know that we work well and I would have to like train somebody else and I don't have the capacity to do that.
Like your job is easier because I'm literally like, here are all these beautiful photos I've had professionally taken.
Right.
And now you get to do what you do well, which is like add the text, make it pretty, write a fun caption. Like, yeah.
And because I know so much about like enzyme lab activities and
because you've had to write about it for
discovery
years.
Stations and anatomy that I'm basically a science teacher. So, you know, it just comes natural to me. Facebook ads has been a new endeavor. So, you know, it's mostly Curtis's thing, but I write the ads and I do the
creative. You're the creative.
The creative.
Part. Right.
And I like go find him new clients. He's like, I think I can take some more people. I'm like, okay, let me go find some people for you. But that we kind of like, I mean, he has his own bank account. He has his own LLC for that. Like we have it separate, but we kind of in our minds like lump it in as like growth in my business because we're both doing it. I've done collaborations like on Instagram, whether that's a sponsored post, blog post, reel, all the different things.
Paid ads like, on your podcast?
Yes. I have a media kit and that he's like, do more of because that requires like, honestly, they're not listening, the least amount of work. Or if it's something I believe in and it's a product I like already, that doesn't feel like work to me
right.
to like talk about it or whatever. And I enjoy doing it. There's like a creative aspect of it too. If they're like, make a reel about it and we don't care what it looks like, we'll approve it, but it's kind of fun. So that's another one.
I love that. By the way, Lauren made me a media kit. So if you're listening and you don't know what that is, it's basically like a one pager, maybe two pages. And it kind of shows some of your stats about your business behind the scenes so they can see your value there and what you can bring and like who your audience is and who you serve. And then you have rates for different things you're willing to do. Like if you want to shout out on Instagram, this is how much it is. If you want me to write a blog post, it's going to live on my website with all my SEO forever. It's going to be this much. And you did that, made one for me. And it's been nice because I do get emails here and there or like DMs where people like ask me to do stuff for free, like a shout out. And I'm like, It's so nice to be like, thanks so much for considering partnering with me. Here's my media kit. Like we can
look, and they can look over walk my away. Prices
and they can walk away.
And or the price is something that you have set that it makes sense for you. So My prices on that are that it's enough for me to walk away from the task at hand because that's not like the direction I'm always going. So I'm like, if you have a deadline and you want me to talk about
and
this,
you're going
to
interrupt what I'm doing already. Yeah.
Yes. Then I need to make sure it's going to be worth my time and energy. And here's the price that it is. So
and
that's
your
my
courses and your membership. You didn't mention those.
Oh yeah. I still have it. It lives on my website. A parent course, a course for parents and students going through the college application process. When I left my full-time job at the high school, I was getting a lot of parent Facebook messages saying like, will you help us with this? And that's not like my ultimate passion, like helping parents with things. I'd rather help students, but with the college application process, the parents are very involved. And when I did Digital Course Academy, it was a great kind of like get my feet wet with something and try out a digital course. And I created that for parents and students. It's a higher ticket offer. So even if I don't sell a ton of them, when I do, I'm like, yes, that's awesome.
And still though, like it's replacing the people, like there's literally a local college planner, counselor person who like is a private person and she charges $10,000 a year and people start hiring her when they're freshmen in high school.
And yeah. I'm like, and it's insane. What? And I was like, parents have money to pay for that. So I'll create something. And it was, that was like, you know, August, you know, it was COVID time. So I was also thinking, people aren't meeting in person. If they have something that they can work on from home, here, Let's have that. So I've got that course. I have an audio course for new high school counselors. So I recorded a private podcast that they purchase, they can listen to on their own time. It has workbooks. It has supplemental resources. And then I have a membership. And that's like kind of a low ticket entry point. And then they could also buy annually. So I have a few different like things on the table, the annual membership and making that evergreen, like they can join at any point. Being able to join at any point is a new thing for me. And I get really excited when people join and I've thought, wow, I used to only have it when they could join two times a year. And now it's like a fun little surprise because I know you have a higher ticket every day offer and I didn't really have that before. And so that is a nice, feels like a little bonus when someone joins for the annual or upgrades to annual.
Well, and it makes a big difference when like, I mean, you and I have talked before on like sale days when it'll be like, okay, I'm $500 off from my goal. And for you, that's like, okay, that I have to sell. That's a lot of people I have to sell to. Whereas for me, I'm like
I tiny
sell,
resources.
I only need two. It only takes two and then I could hit that goal. And like, that's just where like, it's so nice when you do have, like you said, those bigger ones, because you reach these goals like a lot quicker.
Yeah. And so having those different things has been good growth for me year after year. And just like me personally, I don't just want to do the same thing all the time. So I'm slowing down right now and just trying to like maintain and get ready to like take some time off for having a baby. But is there anything else that you can think that I diversify my income with?
Yeah, you do a lot.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of them. But I'm always looking for like, you know, side hustles to my side.
You always are having more ideas. I'm like exhausted. I'm like just.
No, I'm tired. I'm like tired right now. So yeah, I don't have any new ones.
Well, you're growing a human. I'm literally just doing the same thing over and over again, writing these curricula, but I love it. But it's also funny because it's our personalities. Like,
right.
It cracks like that you, I just keep writing curriculum and you keep doing all these different things.
That's right. We talked about that in like the first two episodes. Like, you're like long suffering at being able to do that. I'm like, I literally couldn't do that. That would be
people
so
keep being like,
me.
So when did you start this Kiddish curriculum? I'm like, last July, but I researched it for 6 months before I even got started.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. All right. Lauren, read us a review, and then I'll say who should leave a review today.
Okay. Christine H1227. I don't know if that was your AIM screen name from middle school or that's your real Apple ID.
But we're glad you're here.
We're so glad you left us a 5-star review, and here's what she said. Subject line, love. I love it already. I've never been a huge podcast girly, but I love listening to this one. I constantly find myself laughing out loud and wanting to jump in on the conversations. Simple, to the point, and I get it. That's a sign of a good podcast when you're listening and you want to be the third person in the conversation.
Literally. I was like kind of manic when we interviewed Kelly Stumpy, the car mom, because I was like, this is my opportunity to tell her everything I've ever thought that she's ever said. And so then I felt like
spoken out loud while she's been talking.
Yeah, I was overwhelmed. Okay, so I say leave a review today if you feel the same way. If when you listen to the BBB podcast, you're like talking back to your, you know, phone or your car where it's playing and you're speaking to us, because we would love to hear from you. We'd love to know that the podcast resonates with you.
Yeah, so if you're listening in Apple Podcasts, just go to the show, scroll down past the episodes, leave a 5-star review, and then be sure to type in your review and we might read it on air.
Yes, we'd love to read it. Yay.
Thanks for listening to our Just Besties episode.
Just Besties. We'll see you next time with a new fun guest. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bestie Business Banter Podcast.
If you like what you hear, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review.
If you have thoughts on the show or the segments you heard today, send us a DM over on the Momfluencer Instagram.
See you next time, Business Bestie.